Hi, Stephen Ternik.
Hello, Mr. Otto von Neuenhuyser.
Otto will work well. Hi, Stephen. We have been talking about what you're doing in your research. Mm-hmm. And we already did a couple of interviews on what you are, how you do it, mm-hmm. and what you found, how others can use that. Mm-hmm. And we are now into a further exploration to get a bit of an insight into what you have described on the website as, let's call it the levels of consciousness or the levels of involvement.
Yes.
The stages of participation, or maybe even the stages of development. And I'd like to ask you if you could give a stepping stone as a starting point for that idea and how we can best explore that.
Yes, okay, I will do it. I think that...
Can you move a bit closer to the microphone, please?
Yes.
This way? Yes.
Okay. I think that the most important is to distinguish with this animal kingdom and, if you want, the human world. So it's the differences are not physiologically, if you compare an animal with a human being, is not such a terrible great difference. So I think that the main area where there is free choice, or a level of free choice, that of course is again limited by certain physiological or even genetic barriers. The main point is abstract reasoning. So the main human quality is humans can do abstract reasoning, perform abstract reasoning in formal systems. These can be linguistic systems or, of course, mathematical systems. And the second level is ethical behavior, where there is a special moral system. Both of these human qualities, or if we call them distinct anthropological qualities, both of these distinct anthropological qualities are from very dependent on the background, the cultural background, and very dependent on historical stages. So it's this formal, even is wherever you studied, for example, abstract reasoning, it's different in Persian thought. It's very different in, of course, Hindu thought. The same you find in ethical behavior. You have moral systems. So these systems have an evolution, a systems evolution, with distinct anthropological features. But these you can discover in all cultures, so this abstract reasoning, informal systems, linguistic systems and mathematical systems, and you have ethical behavior as a moral system, ethical system of morality. So you have cognition, abstract reasoning as cognition, and you have ethics. That's free choice about. And these two are, again, very interrelated. So if you have cognition and ethics, it's very interconnected. There is an intersection between both cognition and ethics. So that's my point on this.
Yeah, thank you for that. And in a way, you're also bringing into the picture the difference between the external or the internal experience of cognition. Now you have described how every culture has a different expression of that cognitive process. You already referred to the seeming difference between the human world and the animal world.
Yes.
That, of course, makes it difficult to see how we can talk about the internal process if per culture the way we talk about it is different already, and if in relationship to animals we already have a different projection or interpretation of this. So what's the way in which you have gone about to look beyond what we can see at the surface?
Well, I think that this whole ethical behavior, with this, which is also a cognitive process, so it's dialectic, cognitive and behavior and ethical behavior, has evolved in small groups. In the beginning, of course, in very small groups, and for group survival and for group selection. So the whole ethical systems of morality are a product of group selection, of selection pressure, and group behavior. So you can see it in genetics, linguistics, and territory or geophysical places. So all these ethical systems of morality have evolved from certain places. So there are actually not too many of them. So there are some root cultures for this, and this is how the problem is. The problem today is that we don't have these selection procedures for large-scale organizations. So if you look now that we have in this global, we are in this globalization, and we have no ethic system of morality for this period of humanity. So we are lacking this period, and this is why we have so many organizational errors and organizational problems, especially on the very top, on the top level of organizations. So actually, this behavior stems or is derived from groups, small groups, or maybe some bigger groups, maybe up to 50. There are even people who can count this. They have counted that out, and there are journals full of models. But what we are missing is an ethical system of morality for larger organizations, or of course for corporations.
Yeah, it's nice because you have now linked, in fact, mm-hmm. the social problems that we experience as the discrepancy between the social organization for the small group, which is now in a way applied to the large group, but it doesn't apply at that level.
Oh, it doesn't.
And I would like to connect it up to something. While we talk about these discrete levels of choice and the discrete levels of social grouping,
yes,
that in the body there is a very clear example of the different levels of freedom of choice as they operate in, for example, the way a sensory impulse is relayed to the brain.
Mm-hmm.
We can actually see that there's four different stages,
mm-hmm.
but also that they operate in four different levels of encoding. Mm-hmm. So they're actually quite different processes, mm-hmm. Different meanings.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if you look at the sensory cell, it doesn't really much matter what the sensory cell is susceptible to. Mm-hmm. It could be light, as in the eye, or it could be vibration, as in the fingertips. It could be heat, as on the skin. Mm-hmm. But in any case, the mm-hmm. vibrational impulse, yes, on the cell leads to a charge discharge within the cell. That's the, yes, prime function of the sensory cell.
Mm-hmm.
Then this charge discharge, mm-hmm. from that sensory cell is relayed to, yes, a neuron.
Mm-hmm.
And the neuron essentially is a series of cells connected up to form one cell.
Yes.
But when the signal is translated through this neuron, which basically is a line, yes, it is transmitted as a Fourier code, a Fourier signal, as basically, mm-hmm. every cell, yeah, triggers, mm-hmm. but they together, yeah, create a pattern of vibration.
The different levels of transduction, of energy transduction.
Exactly. And so when you look at the third level, which is that